Welcome everyone to another episode of the Let's Talk Surgery podcast for the Royal College of Surgeons of Edinburgh. I am back as your host, Gregory Carter, a colorectal surgeon up north in Edinburgh, in Scotland. And this is the feature episode of the podcast back again. There's been some pediatric surgery FRCS revision prior to this. And today we're talking about a serious subject that's made it to the forefront of our thoughts over the last few months and in the last year, rightly so. Pleased to be joined by Claire McNaught, Vice President of the Royal College of Surgeons of Edinburgh. Claire, how are you doing?
Hi, Greg. It's lovely to see you again.
Today we're going to talk about the Let's Remove It campaign. This is something that a lot of our members, fellows, and the public have heard of from RCSED in the past when we talked about the anti-bullying and harassment campaign back in 2017. But, you know, you, Rowan, and the rest of the college, given what's been in the press over the last few months, thought that now in 2024 we should bring this back with a different slant. So we've got the Let's Remove Sexual Misconduct campaign, which is topical, timely, and definitely one that we should be talking about for the next few months. I thought I'd just read this very poignant quote, and you can tell me who came up with it. When we talk about let's remove sexual harassment, the behavior is simply must not happen. The culture that's allowed it to happen must be wiped out. Our campaign says, let's remove it. We're all in this together. Can unite to eliminate sexual misconduct in surgery. By Claire McNaught, Vice President of the College. So this is something that's clearly close to your heart, something that you worked hard in the background. I thought it would be useful to have a chat with you about this, the campaign, the scale of the problem, and what the future might look like. So I'll give you the floor, first of all. This is serious. It is endemic. And just tell us about the scale of the problem and how this campaign came about.
Well, you're absolutely right, Greg. This is something that has been very close to my heart. And I think that really over the last few years, you know, we've known about the difficult professional behaviours throughout the NHS. There's been a number of surveys that have shown that, sadly, the behaviours that people have to encounter in their workplace on a daily basis are really unacceptable. But when it comes specifically to sexual misconduct, I think that even I've been surprised at the extent of the problem. And there's been two real pivotal people that have actually raised this, I think, over the last 24 months. The first is the Surviving in Scrubs group. And that was the reports on Facebook by Becky Cox and Chelsea Jewett. These young women started a Facebook group and invited people to put their stories of sexual misconduct, having experienced it themselves, onto Facebook. And I have to say, it made absolutely horrendous reading. Over 150 testimonies from victims of sexual misconduct that are happening in the hospitals and in professional conferences, you know, out with the workplace, but related to their colleagues. So that to me was the sort of first stimulus, and that hit the major press, and actually was pretty shameful for the surgical profession. And following on the back of this, there was a group set up called the Working Party of Sexual Misconduct and Surgery. It was Tamsin Cumming, an English college, that chairs that. And they got together with a stakeholder group and developed a survey, which they sent out, you know, with all the colleges to the surgical workforce. And they got about 1,400 replies. And it was absolutely shocking what they found about the level of sexual misconduct. 63% of women and 23% of men had been actual targets of sexual misconduct. And this can vary from sort of more minor behaviours like innuendo, you know, sexual jokes, inappropriate pictures and social texts and things, to all the way to criminal behaviour of sexual assault and even rape. And it was about a 2% incidence of rape that's reported in this survey. Utterly, utterly unacceptable. And I think we were all taken aback by that. And that's really why we felt we had to do something as a college to address this.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, having read through some of the report, and, you know, I don't confess to having read all of it, but even reading the summary alone is shameful. And, you know, you've highlighted some of the problem there. And what also caught me was, of all of that, I think the report from the WPSMS suggested only 16% was actually formally reported. So it just shows that there is significant underreporting of what's going on. So, you know, the scale of the problem could even be worse than we think, which is scary.
Absolutely. And you're really hitting a very key fact there, Greg, that a lot of the, what people are saying is that there is this fear of reporting it because people feel they won't be believed.
Yeah.
They also think there's a threat to their own professional career going forward because they don't want to jeopardise their career. And I think a lot of people who, if someone actually does approach someone and tells a colleague, people don't know how to handle this type because these are very difficult things to talk about, aren't they? They're uncomfortable, but they're very serious. And so this is why this is a really necessary campaign to try and give people the tools to actually be able to understand what they can do and who they can report it to, and also what you can do if someone reports it to you, what you can do as an individual to try and help that person who's experienced this difficult behaviour.
Yeah, and it's pretty clear from both reports that you talked about, and you know, these reports are easily accessible through the college website with links onto them. It's pretty clear when you look at it that women are disproportionately affected by this. Now, it's not to say that men aren't affected, but predominantly it's a female victims. And it's often the perpetrators tend to be at a higher station than the people that are targeted. This is not exclusive mm-hmm. to doctors. It's not exclusive to surgery, although we have a significant problem. Recently, there's been talk about paramedics, nurses. So we know it's generally across the piece in healthcare. And it's not just about sexual misconduct, but it's also the sexism element of it. When I was reading the Surviving in Scrubs data and some of the BMA survey, it seems to suggest that 91% of women doctors have experienced sexism in the last 2 years from 2021 when the survey was carried out, which absolutely blew my mind.
I know, it's very prevalent, but yet it's not talked about and it's almost hidden, and it's also it seems to be a shameful thing. And the thing is, actually, this is just one end of the spectrum of unprofessional behaviours. We know that the sexual misconduct is one thing, but our previous Let's Remove It campaign was looking at bullying and undermining. And we want to really just reinvigorate the whole campaign, asking people to look at their own behaviours first and actually see if they can adapt their own behaviours. Because let's be honest, all of us can look back in our own careers and think, well, maybe there are times when I could have behaved a bit better. And I think if we all start looking at ourselves first and improving our own behaviours and leading by example, then I think hopefully we'll start to see a culture change, because that's what's required.
Absolutely. And you've also hit the nail on the head, because I think just reading this data gets you to examine your own conscience and examine your own behaviour. And there's some things that might have been throwaway comments that actually, and one of the key things here is that the sexual misconduct definition is based on the feeling of the recipient of said behavior. So we might have our different perspectives on life, but if someone feels that your comment was inappropriate, then it was inappropriate. So it's That's important right. to have this open environment where people can actually turn up and say, well, actually, you know, you might have meant that as a joke, but that crossed the line.
That's right. And I think a lot of people, Greg, if you actually asked a lot of people and said, look, you know, what you said made me feel uncomfortable, would feel terrible about that. Because most of us are good people. We don't come to work to upset people, but we work in a very high stress environment. And of course, that sometimes, you know, I think probably over the years we've become to normalise perhaps abnormal behaviour. And that needs to stop.
And the fear of retribution, the fear from those who experience this that actually there will either be retaliation or there will be an impact on my career. As you said before, I might not be believed. That culture shift needs to happen such that people should be able to come in a confidential space, but also be listened to. And that brings us to how you as a college have responded to this by, you know, setting up this campaign through a working group in the college. So just talk us through, you've identified the scale of the problem and the collaborative working that then happens within the college to bring about this campaign.
So we had a key sort of working group in the college, which was a number of the council members. Amanda McCabe, Anna Paisley, Claire Edwards and the Office Bearer team. We also had our media and comms lead, Jan Cutting, and her team who've been very helpful. And we actually felt this was such an important problem. We actually went to external media agencies to get some professional help, because we really wanted to make this a very professional, hard-hitting campaign. And we felt we needed that kind of external expertise to make sure that what we were doing, we were going to get the message across in the most effective manner. Because the whole idea of this campaign is to raise awareness of this issue and to start getting people talking about it, because that's how culture change will start. So you can imagine that over the last couple of months, we've been through numerous iterations of different designs, ideas, campaign slogans. And we're actually going to do this as a completely separate campaign from the previous Let's Remove It. But really, at the end of the day, after having lots of different alternatives, we actually came back and said, wait a minute, you know, we've got this wonderful campaign already about professional behaviours. Why not just build on the really good work we've done before, but just give it a new emphasis on sexual misconduct? And actually, when we actually came to that, it was kind of a light bulb moment. We thought, why didn't we think of that at the beginning? And of course, then we got the most amazing media images and poster images to back all of that up. And we also did an awful lot of work in the background to get a whole package of resources behind the campaign so that people can come on our website, they can scan a QR code from the poster and actually get resources about what to do if this happens to you, you know, signpost you to good sort of sources of support. Also give people resources if someone comes to you with a complaint of sexual misconduct, what you should do in that situation, and even resources for someone who is actually accused of being the perpetrator of sexual misconduct, because obviously this can be a very distressing time too. But again, you made the point about actually it's how the person that you've spoken to perceives that behaviour, which is the most important thing. So we're really proud of what we've come up with so far.
Yeah, and you should be congratulated, you know, the entire working group and the college itself. I think it's not easy, but it's one thing to identify the problem. It's another thing to identify the scale of the problem and then raise awareness. But actually, one of the unique things about this campaign is tangible resource that people can turn to. And the breadth to which you have covered that is phenomenal. As you alluded to, there is guidance and resource for those affected, for those accused, even for bystanders who might have observed this, and also for organizations as a whole. And I think another key piece of this is a reminder of the code of conduct of our college, which, you know, if you put that in its entirety, that is as detailed as you can get in terms of resource, and it's all in the same space on the website.
It is. So that was actually part of this campaign, was from the survey, the Working Party on Sexual Misconduct brought out a number of recommendations in the report called Breaking the Silence. And one of them was very much about code of conduct. So we've taken this opportunity, and I have to pay testament to the Honorary Secretary, Robin Payton, and the team, our governance team, Lindsay particularly, who have actually reinvigorated our code of conduct. That was launched by our president just a couple of weeks ago, and it's absolutely fantastic. And it really is basically saying to all our members and fellows, we expect you to live by the values of the college, which are basically inclusivity, integrity, respect and professionalism. And we've actually given you, you know, this is how you should be behaving in your professional life. And we hope that everybody will have a look at that and sign up to that.
And, you know, what we're doing here through this podcast and all the other that's been on Twitter over the last couple of weeks, and will continue to be through the social media outlets to raise awareness. That's the elements that we can do. We can't fix every institutional issues. We can't change people's hearts overnight, but certainly we can raise awareness. And we're certainly doing this here. And the second thing we could do is to signpost you to the resources. And, you know, it's incredible the volume of information on the website. And what I also like is the fact that this has been designed with almost like a standard template in terms of the four or five key principles that underpin this. So you recognize the problem, important to listen both to the accuser and to the accused, act about it, and just having also links to support out there, again, for those accused and for those who suffer from this. I think it's incredible how much detail you have gone through as a group on this. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. So yeah, I think it's been a lot of work, but we felt it. We've put a lot of resource into this and effort because we felt it was such an important thing to move forward. But on top of all of the resources, we're getting posters out to every trust, every hospital in the country. We're working with other stakeholders. We're working with NHS Scotland, NHS England, and our Welsh and Irish colleagues. We're working together with the colleges and all the other stakeholders. But what's happening next is actually we're meeting on Friday with the GMC, NHS employers, with the Working Party on Sexual Misconduct and Surgery have sorted this out, to actually look at ways of how we can get some sort of independent reporting system to support victim sexual misconduct, and also look at actually how these cases are handled in an anonymous way to protect people who have actually raised concerns. So that's kind of the next step. So we are actually trying to engage at a national level to try and improve the experience for people who've had this happen to them.
That's great. And that sounds like the logical next step in terms of bringing all this together, but also bringing all the stakeholders together. And I think, you know, the independence of a reporting agency or framework is going to be crucial to increasing that 16% that we talked about earlier of people that actually report formally these behaviors, in the hope that actually we'll get a bit more of that and a culture where these are reported. And, you know, you talked about a poster earlier. It's also incredible that on the website you could download the poster and print for your institution, and that's something that would encourage people to do, I presume.
Absolutely. I say we are sending them out to every hospital, but if you're an interest in this, please, you know, take up the banner, get the posters printed out and put them up. Your organization will almost certainly ask you to laminate them because of new infection control rules. I've been learning all of this week, but that's what we need to do. Get it done. And because it's a great link, you know, get them in every coffee room, you know, every theatre, every entrance to the hospital, because this is not just about surgery. It's about everyone in the NHS. It affects all healthcare workers, no matter what sex or gender they are. So I think it's really important that we try and get that message out to everyone.
And we hope that this serves as a stepping stone, not just within healthcare, but also in other sectors where this is going to be endemic and prevalent, but not necessarily come to light yet, but also other countries. You know, we've learned a lot from our sister colleges in Australia and Australasia, and hopefully some of this work will translate across the world so that in general we will have an environment where sexual misconduct and harassment is called out and stamped out in due course. So congratulations to you and the team and to the college, and we wish you well with the future endeavours. In terms of looking to the future, I think the ultimate goal, obviously, as we say, is to stamp this out. I'll give you a final word and your final views on what's been done so far and what's to come.
Yeah, well, I think this is just the start. And I think that, you know, we see this campaign going on, you know, forever, really. I think that, you know, to try and change culture, it doesn't happen overnight. We know that. Yeah. We know that from our colleagues in Australia with their Operation Respect campaign they had. It took 5 years of really persistent advertising, having those conversations before they started to see any sort of significant changes in behaviour. So we know that we have to be in this for the longer term. So you're going to be seeing this at every college meeting, and, you know, at every diploma ceremony, every presidential forum. We're going to be highlighting this. We're going to be talking about it. We're going to be asking everyone to look to their own behaviours first, and to try and encourage to get this a message that it's so important, because people just want to come to work and enjoy their work, look after their patients, but they shouldn't be subject to these poor behaviours going forward. So this is just the start. And as I say, we're working at a national level now to work with other stakeholders to see if we can actually help the process about how reporting and investigating of these incidents to make it a fairer system for everybody involved.
That's great. And I think, you know, anyone listening to the podcast, please share the link to the podcast so people can hear about this from Claire, but also it will be all over Twitter, or X as it's called now, and all our social media outlets. Repost, retweet, highlight it someone, but more importantly, examine your unconscious and your own behavior, and where you see it, call it out. The resources available on the website, please check it out, show it to a friend, print the poster, just keep talking about this. And, you know, anyone that's been affected by this as well, if you feel like you can't talk to anyone around you and you want to talk to us, you can contact the college, you can contact me through X, Twitter, whatever, and I'm sure Claire will be the same. But
Absolutely. Speak
to someone, get support. There's lots of information on the website. Please check it out. Claire McNaught, it is always a pleasure to speak to you. I wish you the best with this campaign. If there's anything we on the podcast can do to help, please let us know.
Thanks for the opportunity. Nice to see you.
Great. Thank you very much.